The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 315. Eleanor Donahue and Neil Brower, 2005, part three. It's our final part. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at weaversdepartmentstore.com and check things out. They got all kinds of t-shirts. They got a Fife security thermometer, a brand new t-shirt, Words of Wisdom. Head over there and check things out. There's all kinds of things there for Mayberry fans at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. Executive producer of episode number 315 is Sarah Blaine. Sarah, she's in our chat room tonight. Thank you for helping bring Two Chairs No Waiting to everybody and donating to the podcast. And you are our executive producer, and I do appreciate it. Folks, I am Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is wonderful to spend a little bit of time here in Mayberry with you. Tonight, we're going to be finishing up our third and final part of the Neil Brower interview with Eleanor Donahue that was recorded at Mayberry Days back in 2005. And Eleanor is going to be talking more about her time on the Andy Griffith Show. And she's going to pick right up when we get to the video part. She's going to pick right up where we left off last week. So if you didn't see last week's episode, you want to go back and watch episode, 314, since this is 315, one minus, math, I'm hard. And if you hadn't seen the first one either, 313, you want to go back and watch both of those and catch up, because this is a really great series of interviews. Well, it's a one long interview. Great series here that I really encourage you to go see. Now, the last episode, when it ended, Neil had just shown the video clip of when Andy came in and Miss Ellie, he was trying to talk to Miss Ellie about, I believe it was the one about the young men in town were looking out, looking for and all that stuff. And she was mixing up that drink, you know, and pouring all kinds of horrible things into the drink, the soda that she was making for him, the milkshake. And he's, oh, you tried to kill me. You remember that one? Well, Neil had just asked her, do you really enjoy playing those mean parts? And she goes, yeah, I love getting like that. So that's where we're going to pick up. Now, again, I want to thank everybody that supports the show. We've got the folks that donate one-time donations to the show. I want to thank all of you for doing that. It is really kind of you to do so. And I make you executive producers of the show if you donate enough to actually cover the cost of producing an episode. So that's the reason Sarah got her name mentioned tonight. And we've got a whole list of people. If you head over to twochairsnowaiting.com, to the website, if you go up here at the top, there's there's links up there for all the different things you can go to, like Burke on Mayberry, Mayberry Bible Study. If you hover over Two Chairs, you can look at the executive producers list. And that list will tell you everyone who's been an executive producer of all the episodes. And of course, if you scroll down and look at any particular episode, it always shows you here who is the executive producer. So that's just a way for me to say thank you to the folks who donate to the show. And also, if you don't want to give a one-time donation, you can do this other thing we've added to the site. It's called Become a Patron of Two Chairs No Waiting on Patreon. And you can donate to Patreon, where it says Alan Newsome is creating Two Chairs No Waiting podcast and support the show. And there you can give money per episode. And folks have given me so far, I've gotten two people, and I think I told you all that last week, two people that have donated $1 an episode. So every time I do an episode, I get $2. Woo! Hey, I'm not complaining. I'll take $2 and I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you. I want to thank them. Right now we have our two, and it's Rebecca Spears and Paul Mulick. that are my patrons. So they're patrons of the arts. This is art. All right, so I don't want to keep you here any longer. This is a long episode. I didn't figure it would take too long to mention that, but I wanted to. I want to thank everybody, the main reason. And I want to thank Neil Brower for letting me use his interview here. And I also want to thank Neil and Pat Coleman for being the ones who provided the videos where they recorded them for us and was able to share this with us. So now, without any further talk, we're joining them right back where we were last week at the end of the episode. And this is when Neil had been talking to Eleanor about the, as I just said, when she is mixing up stuff. Do you really enjoy that kind of stuff? And so we're going to pick that up right from there. So let's head back over to the interview from Mayberry Days 2005, our third and final part interview with Neil Brower and Eleanor Donahue. So,
well, we're going to see her let it all hang out one more time. Ellie for counsel. Andy's going to come into the drugstore and ask Ellie about her intention to run for town council.
Yes, what can I do for you? Oh, it's you.
I don't blame you for being mad at me, and I'm sorry about yesterday.
Well, as a matter of fact, so am I. I was rude to walk out on you, Andy. I'm sorry. Do you accept my apology?
Well, I reckon I do.
Good.
Let's have a peace offering.
Fine.
I'll buy you a soda. Oh, that's right. That's not much of a treat for you, is it? That's kind of like offering a shoemaker an extra mouthful of tacks.
Well, let me fix you one anyway.
All right. Oh, it's good for you to laugh, especially after you've been mad. Oh, speaking of laughing, a fella told me the funniest thing. I near about died. Have you heard the wild rumor going around town about you?
You don't mean about me running for council?
You've heard it. Ain't that the most ridiculous thing you ever heard of?
No.
No.
No, it happens to be true.
Oh, Ellie, you don't want to concern yourself with government business. You want to let the men worry about that. All you want to worry your pretty little head about is woman stuff. You know, going shopping and looking in windows and trying on hats and eating them little bitty sandwiches you have at the parties and gossiping. And you see what I mean?
Well, I see.
Good.
A woman should keep her place, stay where she belongs.
Well,
a woman shouldn't try to think along the same level as a man.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're simple-minded little fools.
Oh, now, Eleanor, you're putting words in my mouth.
Well, let me put in a few more. I am not withdrawing. I have every intention of running for council. What's more, I intend to encourage other women to do the same. Who knows? The day may come when the city council of Mayberry is comprised entirely of women. Put that in your soda and sip it.
Otis is right. All they understand's a leg of lamb.
Another unusual episode for the 1960s, Ellie running for council.
Oh, yeah. I think that was really... There weren't too many women running in...
No, not in the South, not during that time. Jack Ellison made this comment. Since we'd already made Ellie a pharmacist, we thought we'd go one step farther with her and have her run for council. It was a continuation of the feminist angle. We have to pat ourselves on the back for doing that in 1960, especially in the South. So it was kind of a revolutionary role for a woman to have on 1960s television.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very, very interesting. So I'm glad that it's gone on through the years and people have recognized it and liked it. And it was kind of fun. But they, as far as, you know, getting all uptight and having these big scenes, they tend to write, writers will write to an actor's strengths when they find out what they can do. Mm-hmm. Then they tend to tailor the role to what the actor does best. If my expertise was in physical comedy, for instance, I'm sure they would have written to that strength. And so I had done more of the dramatic storylines on Father Knows Best. Mine was always the more serious stuff that I had to really get in there. So that was what I was probably best at doing. So they'd give me lots of those scenes to do.
Yeah, and they were very good scenes. One of the episodes that stands out the most in minds of we, the Andy Griffith Show fans, is the Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. And
one of my favorites too.
I want to show the scene now. We saw just a little bit when we began all the different clips that we shared at the beginning, but I want to show the entire Away in a Manger scene. And this is the longest sustained shot without any cuts in the entire series. It begins with Andy and Opie, or Andy and Ellie, singing, and then the camera follows the action through the entire cell, ending with Ben Weaver standing and looking in through the cell window. And this was Bob Sweeney's first episode. Let's watch, and then if you can share with us anything you remember about it.
Let's see. Yeah. Remember?
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
We can see Ben Weaver looking in the window of the courthouse.
That was a great scene, and my remembrance is that it didn't take as long as one would think that it was going to take. They had rehearsed it technically quite a long time. We rehearsed it, of course, ahead of time, as we did all the scenes, and we had to concentrate a good deal so that the timing was exactly right. But I think that it could have gone on and on and on, you know, just do many, many, many takes. I'd be curious how many takes we actually did, but I don't think we did more than three. And I think everybody, my remembrance is that everyone was surprised at how quickly we got it all accomplished and that it was really good.
Now, what do you remember about actually singing Away in a Manger?
Well, the few days before, a week before, I guess, during rehearsal for another show, we had gone to a recording studio to lay the track for it, and I was terribly nervous. And many of you have heard the story before. And there was no reason for me to be nervous because I had sung the song many, many times. But I was. I didn't like singing in front of people. I certainly didn't like being recorded. So came to the studio, we tried to run it once, and my voice cracked and broke, and I nearly panicked and got all teary. And Andy got me a glass of water, and he said, well, you know, there's no hurry here, we're just going to sit around. So he said, come and sit down here on the floor, and there was a little riser in the recording studio. He said, well, just sit down here, and I'm just going to play it, and we'll just sing through it a few times until you're comfortable, and then we'll record it later. I said, okay. He said, I think the key is okay for you, so we're going to do this. And he started playing. He said, when you feel like it, just hum along with me, and that'll warm your voice. And so I'm going, hmm, 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 hmm. And he nodded his head and started to sing. And then we did, ended up doing three choruses of it. And when it was finished, I thought we were going to stand up and stand in front of the microphones, which were all up above. And he said, well, I'll see you tomorrow on the set. And I said, well, aren't we going to record it? And he said, we already have. So he had, you know, given a cue like that, and they recorded the rehearsals, and that's what that was. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, kind, and gentle way of doing it. And that's why there's so much relaxation in my voice.
A wonderful sing, yeah, really is.
It was really nice.
The next scenes I want to show is from the episode Cyrano Andy. And it focuses in on Barney getting to be pushed a little bit to make his move for Thelma Lou. We open in Ellie's house with Andy and Ellie and Barney and Thelma Lou.
Ellie home, I was seeing Ellie home, and it was from a diner's quilting party. I was seeing Ellie home. In the sky, the bright stars glittered. On the banks, the pale moon shone. And was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party. I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home.
Ellie and Andy are sitting on one couch. And Barney and Thelma Lou sitting on the other as they have cake and coffee.
Nellie home.
To sing together more often, I tell you the truth. Would you mind sitting over there, Ellie?
I love to sing alongside Barney.
Oh, you're just saying that.
Oh, I think you got a real fan there, Barney.
Think so?
Yeah, boy.
How about some more cake, Andy?
Oh, no, thank you. I've had enough.
Well, how about you two?
Well, I believe I can.
Oh, I think they've had enough, too. right, gang?
All right.
Andy and Ellie begin to snuggle up on the couch while Barney and Thelma Lou are sitting completely on opposite ends of their couch. Barney looks nervously at Thelma Lou, begins to put his arm up and around her on the couch. She sees it coming over, and then he moves it. The lights go off.
What's that? Power failure. It's been happening a lot lately. It only lasts about a minute.
It's all right for me. I think it's more romantic, don't you, Andy?
Andy.
The lights come back on, and Barney is now sitting on the couch with Andy and Ellie, with Thelma Lou alone on her couch.
Nice going, Casanova.
Did you enjoy watching Don Knotts?
Oh, he was so funny. He was absolutely wonderful. When we first started the show, I kind of got my feelings hurt because I thought they really didn't like me, because many times around the table read, they would take, Andy would say, let's take that line that Ellie has and give it to Don. Don, it'll be funnier if Don says it. And believe me, it was. But Don was so good. And they created that character sort of as they went. It was the relationship between the two of them. Watching Don build that character was just a very special treat for me. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor.
Did you feel any uncomfortableness being cast as the romantic lead? You were 23. Andy was 34. Did the age difference bother you in any way, or being cast as the romantic lead?
No, my uncomfortableness was not generated by that at all. I just, as I say, I missed my other family, and I needed the support of my family around me a little bit. I never felt really comfortable there, but it comes off all right, and that's all that matters, yes. Really.
We're going to see now, a little bit later in the episode, Barney has got fired up because he thinks that Andy is making advances towards Thelma Lou, and he's going to show Andy what it's like to have someone try to steal his girl.
Ellie's in the background
right
of the pharmacy.
The
Barney comes walking in through the back door, swaggering. He pulls his sleeves up a little. adjusts his tie and removes his hat, puts it under his arm, and swanders on over to Miss Ellie.
Hello there.
Oh, hi, Ron.
What did you do to your hair?
What do you mean?
Well, I've never seen it quite that way before.
Like it?
What you got on you?
Kinda gets to you, don't it?
Okay, Barney, what'll it be?
Does it have to be anything?
No, you can sit down if you like. I just had this prescription to finish.
You know, the light in here does crazy things to your hair.
What?
Oh, why pretend I like you, Ellie? You're my kind of woman.
What?
Let's not try to fight it, baby.
Barney Fife, have you been drinking?
Oh, baby.
Oh, now stop. I haven't time for this nonsense. Now stop acting like a juvenile.
I feel sorry for you, baby. You had your chance to fly with me, but you wasn't woman enough. Now the balloon's gone up without you.
Barney puts his hat on and walks right back out of the back room. And Ellie looks confused.
Isn't he delightful? He's just so funny. It was hard to keep a straight face.
I imagine it was. Do you remember anything about that or working with him? Was it hard? Did you ever... break into laughter?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, it's really hard to do a scene like that. Then you concentrate very hard. You stay in your character. Then it works. But he was just brilliant. We all know that. He's just brilliant. And still is. He's still acting. So.
And now we're going to see Eleanor have the comic role. Andy and Eleanor talk about this situation with Barney and Thelma Lou in the storyline, and they decide they're going to really make advances towards Barney and Thelma Lou. Let's see what happens.
Oh, that's right, Barney.
Well, this is probably my last official act as peace officer in Mayberry. What's the trouble? Vandalism? Disturbing the peace? Being my last, I hope it's a goodie.
Come on in the back.
Barney and Ellie are at the pharmacy and head into the back. Now Eleanor becomes the aggressor.
It's not an official call, Barney.
Huh?
You can put that away. I just wanted to see you. About yesterday, the things you said.
Oh, then. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. Say them again.
Huh?
Please.
But when I said them yesterday, you said I was being a juvenile.
Oh, I was wrong. It was I who was a juvenile. A frightened
Barney
girl.
Barney backs away from Ellie. And
frightened?
Nailed up against a dream pole. That was offered to me.
But now it's different.
And he slides away again.
It is night and day.
She corners him against a wall.
Yesterday you were Barney Fife, just a good friend. But today I realize you're not just a friend.
Not a friend?
You're the man I want.
She removes his hat.
And with your hair the way it
and
was
plays
yesterday.
With his hair. And rubs his ear.
No. Andy, why don't you think this over? Take
Andy and Thelma Lou are on the front porch swing as she
love
as he tries
hold
to
a stopwatch.
Hold her hand and gets close to kissing
somewhere,
her.
Somehow, someone wanted us to be together.
What for?
Andy kisses Thelma Lou.
You did?
Yes, and I'll do it again.
Andy Taylor.
Ellie kisses Barney on the cheek.
Ellie Walker!
Barney stands up and storms off as Ellie begins to laugh.
You were a good comedian, too.
Well, it was... All I can remember is that it was very difficult for me to do that. It was very, very hard. It wouldn't be hard for me now. Because
what made it so difficult then?
Because I was more repressed as a person. I'm more relaxed as an actress now, and I can just, you just have to completely commit yourself to that moment and just kind of go into it and let it loose. It's amazing that it came out as well as it did.
And I imagine when you're through, you're probably totally exhausted.
Yeah. But because it takes a lot of energy to hold in, much more energy than it does to let go.
Yes. One more scene that I think is wonderful is from the New Doctor episode. Andy makes a quick proposal to Ellie because he thinks he's going to lose her to the new doctor. Let's see the proposal that Andy makes to Ellie Walker.
Ellie Walker, we got to have us a talk.
But
And we got to have it right now, too. Now, I've been knowing you ever since you come to Mayberry, ain't that right?
Yes.
And that's a good long time, too, right? And since then, we've been going to picnics together and socials together and preaching together and pretty near everywhere together, and people got to where they're used to seeing us together, right?
Maybe I better leave.
The long and short of it is, Ellie, me and you have had an understanding, you and me.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
I'm saying it. Well, Missy, when two people have an understanding, they stick together for keeps. Now, that's the understanding. You understand?
Yes, I think I'm beginning to, but I'd like to make sure. Is this by any chance a proposal?
Well, say, this is wonderful. If you two are ready to get married real soon, we can make it a double ceremony.
Would you mind staying out of this?
Andy realizes what he's just
double
done.
Ceremony.
Bob's fiancée is arriving next week. They're going to be married right here in Mayberry.
Fiancée?
Yeah.
You mean you already got a girl that you're going to marry?
That's right.
Well, looks like I've done it.
Yes, it looks like you have. Seems to me you just proposed marriage.
Yeah, that's what I've done, all right. Well, Elliot, looks like that we've embarked on an engagement period, which is a period when two people get to where try to get to where they know one another, and it ought to be a good long period too, so they get to know one another real well. Don't you think so, Doctor?
Well, what would you say a proper engagement period was, Sheriff? 5 years?
You're on the right track there. The right track there.
I don't believe in long engagements.
You don't?
Of course not.
Well, all right, Ellie, you just go ahead on then and name the date.
For what?
For our wedding. I mean, after all, I proposed.
Oh, but aren't you forgetting something? I never gave an answer.
That's right, you didn't. And you don't have to answer. There's one thing that I'm noted for saying. It is not right to rush a girl. Now, I am real noted for saying that, so you just think it over all you want to.
Oh, but I don't have to think it over. I can give you an answer right now. It's no.
No?
You see, I don't like to rush into things either, so let's just take our time. There's plenty of time.
That's right, there is. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time. And we can just wait. Ellie, you're a fine, sensible, level-headed girl, and I thank the world and all of you.
You appeared in 12 episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. Your last appearance was in the episode The Guitar Player Returns. And let's see, one scene, again in the drugstore, between Andy and Ellie. This is the last appearance of Ellie Walker.
60.
Oh, dang, I've gone and left my wallet up at the hotel. Put that on my tab, will you, Ellie?
Oh, well, Jim.
That's sweet of you.
Howdy, Jim.
Oh, hello, Andy.
Doing a little shopping, I see.
Yeah.
Hey, where's your car? I ain't seen it around.
They picked it up for servicing.
Oh.
You see, that's a foreign job, and they can't get those parts here in Mayberry.
Yeah, I guess that's right. You better tell them to get it fixed in a hurry. One of them offers comes through so good you have to take a job to light out of here in a hurry.
Oh, well, I don't have to worry about that. Those offers just keep pouring in. I'm just waiting for the best one.
That's a time.
Well, I better get over to the hotel, okay. Check my mail.
Right, I'll see you, Jim.
Bye.
Bye. Boy, it sure is good having old Jim back in town.
Andy, there's something I'd like to ask you about Jim.
What?
Well, he's been buying a lot of things and just charging them.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, I guess not. But the point is, if he's as prosperous as he says he is, why doesn't he pay for anything he buys?
Didn't he pay you for anything?
Not a penny. Now, I know he's a good friend of yours, but, well, after all, I did just meet him, and, you know, I have a responsibility.
Yeah, well, that is a little strange.
Well, I suppose I shouldn't worry, but it's running into quite a bill.
Well, I wouldn't worry. Jim will take care of it. Well, I better get back over to the courthouse. I just thought I'd stop by and say good morning.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Your hair is shorter in that episode.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I was looking at that. I don't remember why why it was cut or why I cut it. It was undoubtedly a decision of my own.
Yeah, it gets shorter at the very end. How were you feeling at this point? This was near the end of the first season, personally, professionally.
I was going through a lot of personal problems at that time, and things were getting more difficult for me. I was losing a lot of weight, and we had Mr. Burt did my clothes, you know, in the credits. And they would send clothes in a 7, or they'd send clothes in a 9, and I'd diet down to a size 7, and then they'd send a 7, and then I'd get worried that I was fat, and I'd diet down to a size 5. Pretty soon they didn't have clothes small enough for me, and I think I stayed in that jacket as much because of my size was going smaller and smaller. I was just not in... It wasn't the best time of my life. So I don't have... It's really sad because I don't have a lot of memories of set time because I was kind of consumed with things that were going on in my own life. And I'm terribly sorry for that. I can't share anything else with you except that.
Andy said at the time, Eleanor Donahue was a regular in the company before we ever started. We were lucky to get her. Well, she didn't work out at all. It wasn't her fault. It was our fault. We never knew how to write for her. She asked to be relieved, and we were glad to oblige her because we didn't know what else to do. Did you feel they didn't know how to write for you, as you think back on it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I was mature enough to play the role properly. I didn't feel comfortable. And I don't think it was their fault at all. I was certainly chronologically old enough to do it. Certainly I had enough experience to do it, but I just needed a lot of real maturing to do in my own life before I could handle anything like that. And I had to get away. I had to get away from series work and being responsible for that sort of thing. And it was good for me. I got away. I got my life straightened around, and everything was fine after that.
And it wasn't long after that that you met Harry.
Yes,
Ackerman,
I met Harry Ackerman, and we married, and I have 4 children. He adopted my son Brian, and we had 3 more boys. And I had a wonderful life with him until 3 months before our 30th anniversary when he passed away. He was many years older than I. And then a year or so later, I re-met someone that I had known as a youngster. We were both dancers together. And now I am married to that man. We've been together 15 years, almost 15 years.
So Ellie had a happy life.
Yes, I had a wonderful life.
And many more television and movie titles.
Oh, yes, and a new one coming out. That's great. Episode of Cold Case.
That's great. I want to go back one more time. Joy, happiness, the charm of the Andy Griffith Show is present in this scene.
Oh, great.
Oh, yes?
I heard about how Barney couldn't be taking you to the picnic and dance, and I got studying about how mighty disappointed you'd be. And that sheriffing business I was telling you about, that kind of got took care of, and I thought somebody ought to do the neighborly thing.
Thank you, but I think I've had enough neighborliness for a while. Goodbye.
Ellie closes the door on Andy and walks back toward the living room, turns to the door. Walks back to the door.
And seeing as how you're dressed and ready to go anyhow, I thought I might as well take you.
No.
She closes the door again and begins to laugh as soon as the door closes, smiling. Then becomes a little nervous that he's not, but he does not.
On account of you're new in town and you really ought to get out and meet the folks. Miss Ellie, I wish you wouldn't close that door again. I declare I'm running out of things to say.
Thank you, Andy. I'd like to go with you, except for one thing. You see, I had 2 dates for today, one with Barney and one with another young fellow. So you see, here comes my other young fellow now.
Andy turns and looks and sees Opie walking toward the house on the sidewalk carrying flowers for Miss Ellie.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Miss Ellie.
Hi, Opie.
You ready?
I'll be ready in just a moment.
We got a date.
Oh, I see you have.
Well, so long, Paul. Why don't you get yourself a date?
You know, Opie, I was thinking.
About what, Miss Ellie?
Well, I don't think it's proper for a young man to go out unchaperoned with a desperate female hunter. Who do you suppose we can get?
Oh, well, ma'am, as the escort's father, I'd be mighty pleased if he is chaperoned by the local sheriff.
I think you've already touched upon what I want to say. You never looked uncomfortable on screen. And speaking on behalf of these fans, I wish it could have lasted longer.
Oh, bless you.
And you will always be part of Mayberry.
Oh, God bless you.
Crowd begins to clap, and Eleanor stood up and was clapping with them. There at the cinema in Mount Airy, North Carolina.
We have a performance there, mid-performance, and they're waiting for me to sing. So I'm going to run over to the theater, and I will see you all somewhere, somehow, again. Bye-bye.
Wasn't that amazing? That was absolutely great. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was Eleanor Donahue again, Neil Brower, recorded at the Earl, which is now the cinema, which is now the Earl at Mount Airy, North Carolina. It's the theater right there on Main Street, and it's a wonderful place. If you've never been there during Mayberry days, I definitely encourage you to drop in. Often they're showing Andy Griffith Show reruns or something like that inside there. And there's all kinds of entertainment going on. But that is just an absolutely bit of treasure, absolute bit of treasure that we've been able to share for the last three episodes of this podcast. And I just want to thank everybody that was involved in bringing it to us and allowing it. I know these have been long episodes, but I hope that you have enjoyed them as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you, because I have just, getting them all together and editing them and putting the clips back in, because the clips that were recorded during the event itself, you couldn't really see them on the recording. So I got to edit those back in, and even doing all the work I've done, this has been a pleasure for me just to remember and see more of Miss Donahue. And I thank Neil Brower for it. I thank you for being here. And I thank everybody that had a part of doing this. And I would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Did you enjoy this series? What did you think of Miss Ellie? She's wonderful, I thought. But what did you think? And I'd like to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Just drop by over at twochairsnowaiting.com, and you will see all that contact information right there. And I would love to hear from you. And I'm sure the other fans of the show podcast would love to hear from you as well. So, folks, I want you to have a wonderful Mayberry week. And I'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Good night, everybody.